This is the first Sichos Musar of Leva Torah history. Baruch Hashem, we started the Seder Musar 9:15 to 9:30, which thank God is going very, very strongly. It really gives a certain energy to the night, going into Maariv, finishing off the day on a very strong note. And like I said, throughout every once a month, periodically, we're going to have Gedolei B'Torah, giant Torah personalities, give the Sichos Musar. In our yeshiva, thank God, we don't have to look far. We'll have people who are famous that come in, and Bezod Hashem, real big names. But within our yeshiva, we have a humongous person. I suggest to all, you'll get to see a little bit tonight, ask questions. Any question on Shas, any question, ask questions, because this person is holding the Torah. He's mamash a walking Torah. And it's something awesome to have in our midst. And it's a really wonderful opportunity that we'll get to hear from Rav Shammai. This is only an introduction to Rav Shammai. I hope everybody goes up to him, speaks to him, ask any question, because he's holding it all. So the first Sichos Musar ever in Leva Torah, Rav Shammai Warman.
Okay, once heard a story about a person that walked into a bank in broad daylight. He held up a bank, crowded bank, everybody saw him. He walked out with a big sack of cash right into the hands of the police. It was an open and shut case. He had no chance. He hired the best lawyer that he knew. He spent a lot of money for this. What's it going to help? They put him on trial. And 100 witnesses, one after the other, pointed their finger at him and said, "This is the guy who we saw stick up the bank." As the case was coming to an end, the judge asked the defendant, "Do you have anything to say before the verdict and sentence?" So the defendant said, "I have nothing to say, but let my lawyer talk for 2 minutes. The lawyer took the microphone. He was a brilliant, dazzling speaker. And in 2 minutes, he managed to convince everybody in the room that this guy, lo and behold, is innocent. And the guy won the case, went off free. That night, the defendant walked into the lawyer's office to pay the fee. And the lawyer asked the defendant, "Listen, I wasn't one of those witnesses in the bank. But between me and you, did you do it or didn't you do it?" So the defendant said, "If you would have asked me this morning that question, I would have told you that I did it. But after I heard your speech, I'm not so sure myself." The way things work in the world today is people are not necessarily convinced by the truth. If you're a good speaker, if you're a brilliant speaker, if your teeth are very white, if you wear a nice suit, you could convince people of things that are simply not true altogether. You could be a good faker. In the Beis Din Shel Mala, in the heavenly court, it doesn't work that way. There's a little bit of a disadvantage. We can't impress Hashem that way. We don't impress Hashem by spending money on lawyers. But Chazal say something much better. They say that the praklita of the lawyers of a person are his tshuva and ma'asim tovim. And it doesn't cost any money. Person does tshuva, he does ma'asim tovim, right out of his honest heart. That's what Hashem is looking for. That's what impresses Hashem. It doesn't cost a dime. Person just has to be sincere. That Gemara, by the way, appears in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Lamed Beis. If you want to remember, Lamed Beis stands for Lev. Lev HaTorah, Lamed Beis. Hashem wants our hearts, Rachman Alibavoy. Person does tshuva, he has to be sincere. Be truthful with himself. That's all it takes. There's a famous halacha that appears in the Shulchan Aruch about a person's behavior during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and it says that even people that all year long do certain things, speaks of eating a certain kind of bread that's got kosher materials, but it's called pas akum. There's a heter to eat this bread. But a person should try to be extra careful to eat better bread, baked by a Jew, so on. During the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, a person should be a little more machmir. And Mefarshim point out, the Achvonim point out, that this is not only this case, but a person should try to do chumras, stringencies, during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Question is, if we speak of being truthful, isn't this a farce? It seems like a bluff. What are we doing? Who are we kidding? We all know, and Hashem knows, that after Yom Kippur is over, we're going to go back to our old normal ways. What are we doing? And I'll give you two answers. One answer, I heard a mashal, and that is, there was a boy, a guy, who virtually never spoke to his father. He had nothing to say to his father. There was a little bit of a friction between them, personality conflict. One day his mother calls him into the kitchen and says, "Listen, you know, today is Dad's birthday. I know you never speak to him all year long for many years, but today's his birthday. I'd like you to make him happy. What could you do to make Dad happy?" Kid says to his mother, "Nothing. What could I do? You know, I hate Dad's guts. I never talk to him. He never talks to me. I can't stand being in the room with him even. What am I going to say to him? I don't want to lie to him." The mother says, "Listen, think about it. Just think about it. Maybe you'll come up with something." The kid thinks. He walks into the room and he says, "Listen, Dad, you should know I really do love you. But some kind of personality conflict I have with you, I can't talk to you during the year. But today's your birthday, and I want you to know that all year long I really love you, and I'm just telling it to you today, but I really love you." That's what we're doing on Aseres Yimei Tshuva. We're telling Hashem what we'd like to do all year. We're not fakers. Maybe all year long we're fakers. This is the real me. I just can't be machmir all year long. It's too hard for me. But I would love to be. I love Hashem. I love you. And I would love to be more machmir if I can. I'd love to be more careful with your laws. It's just hard. So accept this, what I'm doing now. That's one explanation. It's brought down in other places. As a matter of fact, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says the following idea as well, that when a person does the Fnim Meshuvah Sadin during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, what he's doing is, he's saying to Hashem like this, "Listen, Hashem, I don't know if I really deserve the best judgment, but just like I'm doing Lefnim Meshuvah Sadin, please do with me Lefnim Meshuvah Sadin." It's sort of like the Simanim that we do on Rosh Hashanah, sort of, you know, Hashem, look at what I'm doing, and do back to me, Mita Keneged Mita, be a little more nice to, be a little more kind with me as well, a little more easy on me now as well. When I was growing up in America, the message that I got for Elul and Rosh Hashanah, I told this to the guys in the shiur at night, that when Elul comes, Elul is a time suddenly to change your mode, to be serious. After all of the horsing around that you did in the summer, the clowning off, suddenly in Elul, very serious. When Rosh Hashanah comes, there's a certain awe of Yom Adin, a fear. Aseret Yimei Tshuva is a time that you're simply you're terrorized. When Yom Kippur comes, it's sort of a little bit of a depression. You got to be sad. And they didn't tell me this, but this is sort of if you followed things in progression. So according to that, when the Eila comes, I guess you'd have to be suicidal or something. What's left? And the truth of the matter is, the Aseret Yimei Tshuva is not something to laugh about. It's not a joke. It's very, very serious. But along with it is the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be happy Jews. There's a halacha, the Gemara Paskins, that there's a halacha that we say the bracha of Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well. Not only on the Shloshes Regalim, we say it on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. These are holidays that come from time to time. And it's not just something that comes from time to time. There's got to be something happy about it. And perhaps, what is so happy on Yom Kippur? What's so happy on Yom Kippur? This is the time of my sentence. This is the final moment. I'm a nervous wreck. let's say I'm not able to impress God. I think the happiness of Yom Kippur could be the following. We mentioned that in a court in the world, you have to be very lucky. You have to be able to impress the judge. You could be innocent, but if you're not capable of impressing him, it's not going to work. And you could be guilty. You could be the biggest faker. But if you whiten your teeth and you smile and you put on a good speech, you could get by. But you have to put on a good speech. You have to impress. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't work like that. You don't have to be a faker with Hashem. You could be yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the happiest thing. When a person's able to know himself, to listen to himself, to be able to say that I can say to myself, I know I'm sincere. I'm myself. I'm going to try to do better. I can't do more than what I am, but I'm going to try. When a person's in touch with himself and knows his capabilities, he could be sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees into his heart and knows that the person really means it and knows that he could come out with a good Gemar Din. I just want to end off with two pieces of advice for Yom Kippur and maybe something for the year as well. And that is, we spoke about taking on certain stringencies during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Chazal say, Echad Amarveh V'Echad Hamamit U'Vavad Sh'Yechaven Libo L'Shamayim. Doesn't matter whether you do a lot. The same is true whether you do a lot or you do a little. The main thing is you should do things L'Shem Shamayim. Every person, every one of us, I should ask myself, what am I capable of doing for God? I could do great things. It's true. I could do heavy things. Very heavy, powerful things. But honestly, I don't know if I could say I could do it for God. Maybe I would do it to show off. And maybe I would do it for God, but it's not something that I could really continue doing during the year. But maybe there's something very, very small that I know myself that I could really do, L'Shem Shamayim, and continue doing after Yom Kippur. It could be a very small thing. It could be learning a Mishnah every day that I wouldn't do otherwise. But every day. Every day means not just when I have Shir. Every day includes Friday, includes Shabbos, includes Yom Kippur, includes Thanksgiving, Christmas, includes every day of the year, whether I have vacation or not. Something small that I could do for God when everybody else, the whole world, is doing their crazy things. Some little thing, L'Shem Shamayim. It could be cleaning up a few sfarim of the Beis Medrash. It could be smiling at someone and saying good morning who I normally wouldn't want to smile at. It could be kissing the mezuzah when I walk in. Maybe spending a little more time before davening. A minute. Something small that I could do now and for the rest of my life. L'Shem Shamayim, and take it with me, and of course, get onto it. A minute might not sound like a lot, but you could double it, you could triple it, you could do more. But something that I know myself, that I know I can handle, and do with L'Shem Shamayim and build on. That's one thing. The second thing is, on Yom Kippur itself, on Yom Kippur itself, there's a certain disease that we all have, and that is that we like to look at our watches. And it's a very, very big, very, very bad thing, because when a person looks at his watch, he looks at the clock, it makes it feel like it's going by so slowly. It just never ends. And I remember looking at my watch when I was in high school, looking at Yom Kippur, my watch, seeing that there's another 3 hours till the end of davening. It was impossible. Those 3 hours, every minute I was looking at my watch, it seemed like 12 hours. And when a person doesn't look at his watch, it goes by much quicker. It's much meaningful. Chazal say that there are a number of things that come, behesach hadas. Certain things come when you take your mind off it. One of them is a metziah. If you're looking for a lot of times when you're looking for something, you don't find it. You take your mind off it, you find it comes. You find it. Another thing Chazal say is like that is Mashiach. When people constantly try to figure out when Mashiach is coming, it's not coming. But when you make a hesach adas, it comes. The question is what? Because we're getting punished. Mashiach's not coming because I'm looking at my watch when Mashiach's coming. That's not the pshat. I heard from my Rebbe Rav Sabata, we said that it's mental. When a person constantly thinks Mashiach is coming, it's coming. Of course we should anticipate Mashiach. A person has to anticipate. But if you do it too much, in your mind you're going to feel like it's not coming. But if you take your mind off it, of course subconsciously you wait for it. Achakelo b'chol yom sheyavo. But in the meanwhile, you learn, do the things that we're supposed to do. Bezvat Hashem, it's going to feel like it's going to come. When it comes, we'll see it came much quicker. Same thing is true with Yom Kippur. If you constantly look at your watch, when's it going to be over? It's torture. Leave your watches up in your room, leave it in your pocket, and just concentrate on the davening. And Bezvat Hashem, we should all be zocher to us, our families, to a Gemar Chasima Tova, a year of happiness, a year of health, a year of learning Tova, a year of doing Masim Tovim, a year of tshuva, and a year of blessing in every way. Gemar Chasima Tova.